Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Falcon Cast here at Atlanta Falcons headquarters in Flowery Branch. John Michaels, Jay Adams, Brian Bosek, DJ Shock. Where's Shock? Is he out playing golf right
Shock?
Now?
Shock? Shock's out on the golf course. He told us last week, he's like, guys, I'm not going to come in next week because I'm good at golf.
Okay.
I would rather golf than be on the Falcon Cast with you, so I'm not going to. No, I think he's out of town. Where is
Yeah,
he?
He's.
Let me tell you something. Because we talked about this last week. The Falcon Cast crew is going to be a moving target of sorts for a couple
between
of weeks.
Between now and July.
We're so happy that you're back, John.
For this week.
For this week, and then you're going to be gone for 2 weeks. So we got to hope DJ's not out on some charity golf tournament next couple of weeks so that we can have a podcast with somebody other than me and Bosek.
Yeah, you don't want to hear talk from me.
Why not?
No.
You have become popular because you sent the text to all of us about getting recognized.
You got recognized.
A fan on the street in downtown Atlanta, shout out to Reed. He said he was listening to the podcast. He was just walking down the street, and he saw a guy who looked like he was 12 standing by the Falcons food truck. He approached me and asked, do you work up at Flowery Branch?
You must be Bosek.
You have got to be Bosek.
Yeah, so thank you, Reed.
Now, who looks younger, Bosek or Trevor? Because Trevor looks really young as well.
Yeah, Bo.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah. And Trevor's got a year on me, too.
I think Bo does. If Bo went full shaved head, mm-hmm. I think he'd have a shot at looking older.
Yeah.
But it's the 5'4"3.
Yeah,
that's,
the 5'4"3
doesn't
help.
It's making him look a little younger than he should be.
It is.
But Trevor goes full. Trevor's our other video guy, for those who don't know. He's also quite young. Trevor doesn't know how to cook. He's never used a microwave in his life.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
He's never used a microwave?
Microwave. Like, we can't even get to the point where we're microwaving stuff.
It's not that hard. You put it in, you hit, like, a couple of buttons, and you hit start.
Yeah, but for him, it's, like, so much easier to just go through the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yep.
Again,
every night.
Yeah, but guess what? When your metabolism at 22 mm-hmm. works like that, you can do that.
Oh, he's
25
If I eat McDonald's
even.
Now, I gain 6 pounds
he's
right
like
then.
He's like a coal-burning oven. I'm sitting over here. I'm looking at the candy you got right there, and I think I've gained weight looking at that.
Well, you brought in Starburst and a Gatorade. I got a sugar-free Red Bull and bottle caps.
Yeah, no, we're our diet here on the Falcon Cast is just phenomenal. We're really taking in the afternoon snacks here.
But seriously, you're down what, 20 some odd pounds
since the end of the season? I am down 27 pounds.
Nice.
And so I've hit a little bit of a plateau, and I think it's – everybody hits the plateau. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just figuring out how to bust out of it. So I'm just waiting here. The last 3 weeks I haven't moved despite working out probably harder and eating, you know, less and all that stuff. So I'm just waiting for my body to just let go of it. But I'm dealing with a little injury now. I overstretched a ligament.
Oh, no. Which one?
Monday night. So it was something in my foot. And so I got to focus on the upper body for the next couple of days. Stay off the feet, which is fine. Get to build the guns up for a couple of days.
Sun's out, guns out.
Get the show ready.
Guns feel fine. I can go in there and do that. But, yeah, I've dropped some weight. You have been doing the yoga
from January 1st to this morning, and I weighed myself today. I was 260 pounds on January.
Wow,
1st.
He's actually going out with numbers here.
Oh yeah,
that's and big.
I was down to 234.8 this morning on the same scale. I literally have not moved the spot where the scale sits, just because, you know, there's certain places on the floor you might gain a pound, lose a pound. 234.8 this morning.
Congratulations, that's great.
Long way to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, so do I. So do I, but we're getting there, and
we
and you and I are committed to getting through the
season. Yes,
that is the that is the goal, because every year we get to the season, we get on the plane, and there's free chicken sandwiches, and there's candy,
and there's stadiums
sodas,
with Mountain Dew,
and there's stadiums with lemon lime product sodas, and you know, we have a little bit of a problem saying no to that, and. You know, so we need to lay
like
off that stuff.
It seems like you and I have this same conversation every year, because we'll get to training camp and both of us are looking slimmer.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to be slim,
oh,
but we're slimmer.
Yeah,
you look great.
Oh, and then November runs around, but like, boy, you really let yourself go, haven't you, John?
The problem I have is I start to notice how my suits fit.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a guy that's getting custom, so I'm not shocked. I can't get tailored suits.
No.
I go to whatever's off the rack for like $39.99 and grab a jacket that's usually off color that goes with it. Beginning of the season last year, pants were fitting, belt fits.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of the year, I'm going, holy cow, do I have an extra shirt on? What's happening here?
Yeah. Right now, I'm wearing a belt that is going to need a new hole at some point because I've just gotten to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need a new belt, one of the two. I'm probably going to put my own hole in the belt.
Get the fork and you kind of wedge it in there.
We'll make it happen. But, I'm hoping that here in like 6 months, I'm not like, oh, boy, it's been I'm like 3 inches now away from that. And,
right.
You know, putting on the weight. But I'm committed this time. I've just got to bust through this plateau. See, this is what I love about the Falcon Cast right now is that depending on the crew you get,
mm-hmm.
you could get talk about
anything.
Darn near anything. And I know there's a reason why we're talking about our diet and food, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's really funny because, DJ comes in, and what did we start out talking about last week? It was something
I'm blanking, too.
But we spent a good 5-10 minutes. And just so you guys know, this is all tactical. We come in. We come in soft.
Yeah.
We want to just come in to get earbuds.
Oh yeah.
Nice and soft. And then we'll get into the hardcore Falcon stuff. But we could talk about our resting heart rates. We could talk about our
we've
diets.
Done that.
We could talk about you don't know what you're gonna get when you get whatever combination of crew. Each week shows up at the Falcon.
I can't
cast,
wait till Bosek actually has that off season where he bulks up like 15 pounds.
So we were talking
I'm
about that.
For it.
We were talking about that Monday about how like what if we just gave him some of that weight gainer powder?
Yeah.
Like if we just put him on that and cheeseburgers. Like,
well, get that and get him with Curtis every day in the weight room because Curtis, you know, every day is curl and back day for him.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I don't know that he hasn't had a lat day in in years, it looks like.
Since he was an intern, like,
right.
4 years ago.
See, but you and me, we like ourselves a little leg day.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. I hate leg day, but I do it.
What year is this, 2016? I think I did legs in 2012. It's the last time I did legs.
Wow. All right. Well, I could leg press a Buick right now, so I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling strong. I feel great. Like, that's the thing. I feel great. We had our annual all-associates day where the Blank family of businesses gets together and does some community service out in on the west side of Atlanta. And I was doing manual labor, like hard manual labor. Like, the reason why I went to college was to avoid doing manual labor. But I spent 2 summers as a landscaper in college, and I loved it. 2 of my favorite summers of my life because I lost weight so much faster doing that stuff. But it was amazing. I was hauling around 60-pound bags of pond pebbles,
mm-hmm.
and we had these huge stones that we were moving around and all this other stuff, and so we were working on that from about 10 to maybe like 2 o'clock, so 4 hours of, like, really, we only stopped for lunch maybe for like 20 minutes and really got after it after that, and I felt great afterwards. Like, I went to the gym after that, and that's when you know, like, you're the work that you're putting in,
mm-hmm.
is paying off, because I had energy for days. I was working circles around people who were smaller than me.
Right.
So that's how I knew that I'm starting to kind of get into that shape that I want to be. I would say more on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside, I'm not the shape I want to be at all.
Right.
And I just, this spare tire, man. It's this, the love handles.
Yeah.
And the spare tire, and I know there's a lot of you folks out there listening to us right now know what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, hey, my telltale sign of when I've gained too much weight, and where I was January, and I think there's a lot of big guys that can deal with this because I'm not a little guy by any means. 2 things that happen to me are telltale signs: when the front of my boxers flip down. You know, when you'll bend down to tie your shoe, and all of a sudden the front. Yeah, Bosek has no idea. That, or when you sit down on the plane and my belt is cutting into the bottom of my stomach.
That's when I know as well. My other sign, because I'm a bigger guy than you, carrying a little bit more around the middle. It's when you bend over to tie your shoe and almost pass out from choking yourself.
I've been there.
You almost asphyxiate yourself as you tie your shoes.
Well,
boy, we've been going on for 11 minutes here.
The other telltale sign is when your shoes are tied on the corner. You can't actually tie them in the middle because you can't reach the middle.
Oh.
Bo Six, like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I'm learning a lot.
Here's the thing. I was your size when I moved here.
Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Look at your future right there.
I love it.
It's gray and tattooed.
Yeah, gray, tattooed, and fat.
I think he's wearing the same 92.9 The Game shirt he's been wearing for weeks. You are looking more jacked.
I'm getting there,
more
man.
Jacked. You're getting the shoulders there.
I will tell you. DDP yoga, doing the road warrior positions and all of that. I sweat like I've stole something.
Yeah.
It's a crazy
Let
thing.
Let me tell you something. I'm putting on muscle like it's going out of style.
Yeah, you got the gun show.
I got the gun show.
How's the tattoo coming?
It's good. I'm finishing it up Thursday night.
Nice. So the first session's all healed
first
now?
First session's done. I got 5 hours to sit Thursday night and right after work.
Nice.
So I'm going from I'm working.
So from 5 to 10, you're going to be sitting in the tattoo chair.
5:30 to 10:30, I'm going to be sitting in the tattoo chair, getting this thing done.
I don't know how you just sit there and getting a tattoo. I had a skin test this morning. I laid there
allergy.
On my back for 20 minutes.
Oh,
it was 20 minutes. You're talking about 6 hours, 5 hours. Oh, how do you do that?
The inside of my arm was 5 hours. This took 5 hours in one sitting.
Area I've determined I will never get done because
it hurts.
There's this one section right there that I'm like, oh, nope. Yeah, no.
So yeah, I've got all the bad spots taken up.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some Falcons.
Let's talk some Falcons.
Nobody wants to hear us talk about this crap.
No. Well, you guys are segueing into what we're...
We were on food. This is the great thing about when John and I get together is that we can talk for hours and hours and hours. About nothing. And we'll just go weave our way through. Same thing with DJ. That's why we work so well together.
Yeah, we all get along well.
But we were talking about food because...
Because Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons and the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium have come up with some great concession pricing. What's one of the biggest complaints we hear in the National Football League? Food is too darn expensive.
Yes.
How would you feel about $2 non-alcoholic beverage products with unlimited free refills at free refill stations?
Now, that gets me every time. Unlimited free refills?
Unlimited. You can have as many sodas as you want.
That's remarkable.
$2 bottles of water, $3 peanuts, pizza, nachos. I'm always down for $3 nachos.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
One guy told me his whole row is going to be swimming in $3 waffle fries. And then you've got your $5 12-ounce domestic beer, which is just unheard of in today's sports age. I think it's funny, and I'll admit this, when I first heard that we were doing this, I really was a little dubious as to whether it would make an impact. Not on the fan base or anything, but more like on a national level, like would people pay attention to it?
Right.
Is it that big of a deal? Is it that much of a pain point for people? And to see the responses, not just from the Falcons fans, not just from people who have already purchased PSLs and have their seats and are going to be in the stadium and taking advantage of these prices, but the national response to this was just absolutely amazing, blew me away. It was way, way further than I thought it would ever go. And as the Twitter guy, the social media guy for the Falcons, I'm sitting there watching all these tweets roll in as we're making this announcement. And the number of fans of other teams who are paying attention, taking our link and tweeting it at their favorite teams and being like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you get on board with the Falcons? You guys got to pay attention to what Mercedes-Benz Stadium is doing. I think it was amazing to me. It was really overwhelming to see the response.
Here's a couple of things I take from this. And I'm not going to name the stadium where I was at. And I bought a Philly cheesesteak and a soda. Any guess as to what that would get? No fries, literally a Philly cheesesteak and a soda.
At a stadium, I would say no less than $20.
It was $20. $19.50 for that.
$18, yeah.
That's a lot.
That I can even say that with a straight face is amazing. And I had a similar experience. I won't name the stadium either. And it's rare when I go to any sporting event as a fan. I went to a sporting event not that long ago, had a $50 bill in my pocket, walked out with none of it, and it was all. And it's not like you can't eat a lot for $50
right.
in a stadium. You can't drink a lot for $50 in a stadium. So it's not like I can sit here and say that I, you know, smash the place. But I had a hot dog and a couple of adult sodas, and you know.
And the next thing you know, you're $50
lighter. I'm $50. I got nothing left for a foam finger on my way out. But, so,
And here's what families are looking at. I've spoken to a lot of people. They're, football fans, obviously, the price has gone up continuously. That's just part of inflation. It's part of the market that you're in. You're going to pay more in your entertainment dollars to get in a stadium, to park your car, sometimes to drive there, whatever it may be. And there's a reason why some people now are making that choice that, hey, I'm going to sit at home on Sunday. I'll pay $300 for the year for the NFL Sunday ticket. And I'm going to watch my – and if you live in Atlanta, you see the Falcons every week anyway.
Yeah.
But if just say you live in a market that is outside of Atlanta and you want to see your team and you can't come down here, they make the conscious effort to pay that money, sit in front of their high-def TV, and go watch the game.
Right.
You can sit at home. You could order wings and a pizza, and you spend $45 total.
This is the reason I don't go out to bars on Friday nights, John, is I want to be able to get to the bathroom without having to fight anybody.
Mm-hmm. I also want to be able to get a drink. If I buy a bottle of Tito's vodka, which is what I tend to drink,
okay,
I can get the big bottle for about $30.
Yeah.
You know how many drinks I can get out of that? Probably. About a month's worth.
Yeah.
For that size bottle in a club, I'm going to spend $1,000. And the only reason I know that, I was just out in Vegas for my engagement.
Yeah.
My section for one bottle of Absolut and a bottle of champagne was $1,000.
Man, that radio money is really rolling in.
That was called 401k and credit card.
Sometimes you got to borrow against the old retirement.
Right. Yeah. You know what? You got to do that. But when you start to look at these concession prices, what Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons have done is they've told you, okay, yes, it's going to cost a little more to come into our shiny brand new stadium.
Right.
But when you get here, instead of saying, okay, it's a dad, two kids, and the mom, four people at my meal price, what I talked about, a Philly cheesesteak and a soda would have been almost $100 to feed the four of them, which a lot of people, that's a week's worth of groceries.
Yeah.
You now can walk in and go, okay, kids, you guys are getting pizza at $3 a piece. Mm-hmm. So that's $6 for pizza. I'm going to get you both a soda because it's unlimited refills and you're at a game. So you're talking $10 for the kids to eat.
Yep.
If dad gets two beers at $5 a piece, there's another 10, and just say the parents get pizza and fries or whatever. You're talking $30 or less you can feed your entire family for a game.
That $50 bill that I took into a stadium recently would have paid – I would have walked out probably with money.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have fed a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what one of the things I love the most about this this whole thing. The other thing I love about it is that it doesn't matter who's playing inside. Falcons, Atlanta United, Beyonce.
Rihanna, who's here tonight.
Rihanna.
Kesha.
Kesha, WWE. doesn't matter who's coming in. Those prices aren't changing. Now, it's important to point out here that these aren't going to be the only options you have.
Right.
There are going to be other options that are going to be added. There'll be premium, pricing and premium items. You know, if you want to get a barbecue sandwich from like Fox Brothers or something like that, you know,
it's not going to be $3.
It's not going to be $3, right? We understand that. But to have this option, and let me tell you, what we're looking at and what we just rattled off is merely a fraction of what's being offered at these prices. And I want to address one thing, and I didn't see a lot of it, but I did hear some people question it. Is like they think, well, the quality is going to go down. Let me tell you something. We took a food truck out around Atlanta with the exact food that's going to be served inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium at these prices, and Brian Bosek was part of that. He was going around, and the food looked amazing.
Oh, yeah, it looked great. Those cheeseburgers, yeah, they may be, I think they're $5 and not on the list you named off, but those look delicious. Another popular item was chicken fingers. I mean, those were $6. A couple people were getting hot dogs, too. Those are $2.
$6 is what you're going to spend at a restaurant on chicken fingers.
Right.
I could go to a minor league baseball game that is located near where I live and spend double that on chicken fingers if I wanted chicken fingers.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point behind this is now, I remember when I was a kid growing up in New York, and now when I was a kid, we're talking late 80s, early 90s, and prices hadn't yet exploded the way they have in sports, where you just end up paying way more for what you were getting years ago for way less. And I remember you'd go and you'd spend $1.50 on a piece of pizza at a minor league baseball game
and love it
and it was great food and you're going back to that. And what you're doing is you're putting a challenge out to every other stadium and every other league out there, including minor league sports, and you're saying, look, we can afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can afford to do this, and you can too, because the prices, everything has just gotten out of control we're not going to get political here, but just, you know, it's tough for an average middle class family to go and enjoy a sports game live. It seems to be so much more for people who are CEOs and executives, mm-hmm. and who make six figures a year and can spend $200 to feed their family.
Think about the commitment. Just say you're a family that's blessed enough to be able to have four season tickets.
Yeah.
You've been grandfathered in. You've been a Falcon fan since the early 70s, and you've had a good seat, and your pricing, yeah, it's gone up year by year, but you're blessed to have that.
Yeah.
You're making a commitment to, I'll throw the preseason out, because a lot of people will go, I give these away.
Yeah.
This is my buddy wants tickets. I'm letting him take his kids.
Sure.
You're making a commitment 8 Sundays out of the year.
Yep.
Ticket prices out of the way, because you've already paid for that. Minimum, what, $30 to park your car?
Yeah.
So you're talking $30 to park your car. If you've got four people with you, you're spending minimum $100 a game. And that's not counting any souvenirs.
Yes.
That's not counting, you know, anything extra. So you're talking an extra $150 a week. That's an extra grand or over a grand for a football season just in food.
The American sports industry has gotten extremely greedy over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think the only way that you really, as a consumer, can fight back is with your dollars.
Yeah,
or actually,
up.
It's without your dollars,
right.
You know, not spending your money on certain things. And I think that, I think this helps, that where you've got an NFL team that's going to open the best stadium in the world,
mm-hmm.
Next year, and they're saying that we are going to open it with these prices. It really sets a standard for everyone else to live up to, and I think you're going to see changes, I think, pretty quickly around all sports when it comes to concessions, and hopefully for other things too. Hopefully this leads to, you know, a whole snowball effect to where the middle class family can afford,
yep.
to go and enjoy a Friday night baseball game or come to an NFL game on a Sunday and not have to plan it out so much that you're budgeting and taking so much out of what you would normally spend in a month.
I spent, and it's a little bit off the topic of football, but to go to the movies. Kid, my fiance's got two kids. I have one, so that's three kids, me and her. Five of us to get in the movies.
Yeah.
Kids were $10 a piece. I think for her and I, it was $15 a piece. So that's $30. That's $60 to get in for a big, and we just got a large popcorn to share. Popcorn,
yeah.
Which you can buy in the store for like $2. I spent $20 on a bucket of popcorn. And then like another 15 to 20. So I spent $100 to go to an hour and a half movie. And you wonder why people go, I'm not going.
Yeah, ridiculous.
No.
That's unreal.
That's why, you know, there are a couple of places that I am going to start treating as if they are in international waters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them's the movie theater and the other one's the airport. And both of those places price their any goods inside of there. It's like the people who are setting these prices haven't like stepped outside of this world that they live in years and years and years. And you go and you buy a small soda at a movie theater.
It's like $6.
It's $6, but it's also the size of a
it's a
triple
extra
two large was a couple of years
ago.
It's
a 2 liter is what it is.
I don't need that much soda. I mean, for crying out loud, and not for $6, you know? And so I think, you know,
well,
this
that's
is
why
a, this
I like
is,
this thing that you have free refills, because you're not going to have the 48-ounce cup that everybody spills or dropped. You're going to probably have them in a 16 to 20-ounce cup, which is plenty of soda to drink.
Right. The great thing about this is that from a concession standpoint, there's going to be a lot of points of sale, mm-hmm. around the stadium. So even at its busiest, you know, like your halftime when,
yep.
you're trying to get another beer, trying to get a soda or whatever before the third quarter starts, you're not going to have these lines that you're dealing with like you would at other stadiums or even the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, like
which,
you're dealing
you know,
with that. Yeah.
So you've got way more points of sale within Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The other great thing is if you get the the $2 soda, which is 20 ounces, by
the way.
Okay,
it is 20.
That's 20 ounces of soda, and you get it, and it's the unlimited free refills, right? You don't have to wait for – you don't have to go up to the concession stand and wait for Martha – get Martha's attention, and Martha goes and fills up your soda for you. This – whole thing, this whole operation is behind it. It's like you go to some of the fast food restaurants nowadays. You say to the woman, "Yeah, I'll take a number 5 meal with a Diet Coke." You order the Diet Coke so you feel better.
About the number 5.
Exactly. And she's like, "I don't care what you want to drink. Here's a cup. Go fill it up yourself." This is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot more polite at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
This is why you don't work in the food industry.
Right, exactly. Because the whole soda situation is going to be freestanding from the concession stand. So you just walk up. Like, literally, you could probably go in a commercial break, run upstairs, take your cup up, boom, fill it up, get you a Sprite, get back down to your seat.
Can I go to the 100-yard bar during a commercial break?
Yeah. You and I are going to spend some time there.
Downstairs to John on the sideline. Sorry, Wes. Tito's and Red Bull is flowing well here.
Made it to the 20-yard line here at the front at the 100-yard bar. Yeah, but this was like such a great announcement, I'm excited. You know, you think about it. A year from now, we're going to be. I think June 1st is the open date as it's been set right now, and everything is on schedule for that. So a year from now, we're just going to be mere days away from opening that place,
which is awesome.
It's exciting, and you know, I can't wait to see it. And so we're going to have more announcements like this, you know, coming over the next year.
Real quick before we move on, one of the things we'll do really from now until we get ready for training camp a couple of months from now is we're going to start going through each week expectations of certain players.
Sure.
Today we'll get into Mohamed Sanu. But before that, you mentioned this could be a trend around the league. Mike Freeman of Pro Football Talk had an article today that said he expects at least about 10 teams. I think that was the number. But he said there's a lot of teams that are now already, a day and a half after the announcement, looking at the Falcons' pricing. Because other fan bases, as you mentioned, they're going to send this to their teams. They're going to say, wait a second, why am I paying $9 for a hot dog or $10 for a hamburger, and they can do it for two?
Yeah, exactly. I think you know, on Monday, the announcement was at 10 o'clock. News kind of broke around 9 a.m., 9:30. It really got out there, obviously, at 10 o'clock when we held a live press conference with Arthur Blank. By 11 o'clock, I can guarantee you that in ticket offices around the sports industry, the phones were lighting up with season ticket holders asking, why can the Atlanta Falcons afford to do this and you guys can't?
Right.
And then I'm guaranteeing you by noon, there were a lot of executives in a lot of boardrooms being like, guys, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that this causes major change across not just the NFL, but all of sports.
And you know what? That's one of the trends you want to be a trendsetter for.
Yeah.
People may look back 10 years from now and say, Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons were the reason that, again, the family of four decides on a Sunday, I'm coming to the game instead of sitting at home. Let's do some expectations. Let's talk some football, because we're really not far off. Like, I know the offseason seems like it's been long for us. It hasn't been. I mean, you guys don't get an offseason.
No, there is none.
But for players, you're going to have OTAs coming up. Was it next week?
Next,
I believe they start.
Monday they start.
And a little bit of OTAs, which, for those that don't know, that's organized team activities.
I always change it. I always say off-season training activities. I never get it right. I always screw it up.
But what it is, it's really the first time that the entire team, rookies and all, will be together on a – now, they're not going to have pads on.
Nope.
They're not going to be hitting.
Nope.
If I hear the report, and you get this from all the sports talk radio hosts around town, well, Vic Beasley looked awesome at OTAs, and he's coming up. They're not hitting.
Right.
So stop. They're just learning. They're getting plays. They're kind of doing some installs. But anybody that's giving you the report, Jake Matthews looks like he's going to be a dominant tackle. Because you get that. What's he a dominant tackle against? The tackling dummy that he's actually practicing against? We think Jake will be fine. But you get my point.
Don't
take too much out of it other than these guys are getting together.
Yeah, you really can't. I think some of the things you can take out of it, though, you can look at quarterback wide receiver timing.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at how wide receivers are running their routes.
How about body types? Guys that have lost or gained needed weight?
Let me tell you something. We just spoke with Vic Beasley Wednesday, and you want to talk about a guy who is packed on muscle? I'd love to see his number on a scale right now.
Okay. Because
he is gigantic. All the right kind of muscle, all the right things you want to see out of a guy. They're moving him to Sam, playing him at Sam a little bit. So he's going to be covering some tight ends. He's going to be a force this year. You are going to be able to see these guys, see how the offseason training has done for them because – well documented at this point, you had the Navy SEALs come in for a week, so you did that kind of training. They've been getting after it,
right.
And I mean, I really wish a lot more people could see what's happening. I mean, I'm not even one of the people who can see what's happening a lot of times, but I end up finding out after the fact. Oh, you know, they were doing this today, or they were doing that today, and it's amazing the training that they've been put through. The guys look amazing; they look fantastic, and you're really going to be able to see that in OTAs. But to your point, you know, anybody who's saying that,
Alex Mack has solidified the offensive. You like my sports talk radio host voice?
No, it's very. It's almost like you do it for a living.
You know what it is? I get that from when we go to SEC Media Day in July, which is it's fun from a college football perspective.
I've been there
because you get to talk to the Sabins and the Malzahns. Yeah. But it's hilarious because not to disparage the markets that some of these places come from, but Super Talk Mississippi, we're going to break down Mississippi State, and they'll spend 4 hours. On the backup guard at Mississippi State. And they'll tell you why he's going to. And that's what they do, and that's what's fun. But you hear those voices.
Yeah.
You hear the guys that are over the top. Coming up next, it's Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah.
He's going to tell us why Mississippi State is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, exactly.
If I ever talk like that, punch me in the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would rather see, when you talk about winding back the clock on some concession prices, I'd like to see us wind back the clock on some sports reporters. Like the guy who did the there's a viral video out there. Some sports reporter was using like old timey language to ask Tom Brady a question.
That's awesome.
And it's like, say that, Chief. Your timing with the wide receivers today was the bee's knees and like all that. I'm probably doing a terrible impression of it. But it was really funny. I would love to see that come back. But, OTAs are coming up, and you're going to have a couple of weeks of that. You're going to have veteran minicamp, mandatory veteran minicamp for 3 days. And once that happens, the guys are out of here for 6 weeks.
Yep.
And then it's training camp.
Then it's training camp.
It is not far away, guys. Like, for real. It is going to go so, so fast.
You're absolutely right, because – and Brian and I were talking about this before, and you came in on the tail end of it. I'm taking a vacation next week.
Yeah.
And I started going, I don't really have any time for vacation after that. Yeah, in June I can finagle something. I don't want to take too much time off because I'm taking a week and whatnot, and, it doesn't look good for my full-time employment doing those things.
Right.
But once July hits, it's over.
That's it.
I might get a day here, and the same thing for you guys. We may get a day here, a day there. There is no more, hey, I'm gone for the week, because every weekend there's something going on. Training camp for you guys, I've seen you, Jay, where you're out at, 6 o'clock in the morning, and at 8 at night you're still doing something.
Yep.
And that's 7 days a week.
Yep. Ladies, if you're looking to set up a relationship with me, now's the time to get moving. we got to get stable by July.
This is why I got to
be
engaged.
Okay with me. Me not being around.
This is why I got engaged early in the off season.
See? Yep.
She doesn't understand yet what football season's all about. We were dating during football season. She's going to realize now, you're gone again.
Yeah.
That's kind of my job. I'm gone all week. Although she is coming to Denver.
Oh, okay. That's good. And it looks like, we'll probably be spending a week on the West Coast at some point, too. So
breaks my heart.
I know.
How much In-N-Out Burger are we going to put down there?
None, because we're going to our diet program, you
No,
jerk.
Hold up. Now, are we staying in? Because I've heard it's the Denver-Seattle back-to-back.
Oh, it hasn't been determined yet.
Where's Spencer Treadwell when we need him? Come on,
well,
get
he's
on
actually
this,
out on the road right now doing all the advanced travel. I haven't seen old Spencer in weeks. Ever since he went to turn in cards over at the draft,
he's big-timing us, is what he's doing.
The thing. He went, he turned in the cards, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to go visit all these cities that we're going to. Because
I don't think there's In-N-Out in Denver or Seattle. I think that's just a California thing. All I know is if we stay in the same place we stayed in Seattle 5 years ago when we stayed at the Grand Hyatt right downtown,
beautiful.
I'm going to be so hungover on seafood, not on alcohol. I went to one of those places right on the bay where they dump my food on the table.
That's where I want. I need more places that just dump the food on the table.
Me too.
Did you catch a fish over in Seattle? Did you go to that little place?
No, that was right down the street. I did not.
You can go up and just catch.
Yeah, I didn't try to catch one.
I'm going
to
try if
we
go.
You better believe we're taking a practice squad wide receiver out there.
Yeah.
And doing a competition. We're doing a video.
Because Shock will probably be with us. I think we should go out there.
Yes.
And see if
yes.
we can catch a fish.
Yes. That's the next time.
Shock's the only one with hands big enough to throw the fish, actually.
Yeah, right. That's the next time the Falcon Cast will be on video.
Speaking of catching, one of the guys that we're going to do an expectation for now is Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'll tread lightly with what I have to say here, one of the more controversial signings during the offseason.
Yeah.
Fan favorite legend in this town, Roddy White, let go. Mohamed Sanu brought in. People have looked at just raw numbers. You go down, and you could go the 4 years that Mohamed Sanu's played in the league, and you go 152 catches, 1,793 yards, 11 total touchdowns, and Julio Jones goes, that was last year.
Yeah.
But that's Mohamed Sanu's career.
Right.
What do you expect from Mohamed Sanu? And, Jay, you've gotten to know him a little bit better than I have. What do you expect from him year number one in this offense?
I expect him to be pretty much the same type of player that he was in Cincinnati, in that you know, he's going to be your solid number two guy, your guy you can depend on when you need him. I think you know, he didn't get as many opportunities in Cincinnati in 2015, only had 33 receptions, you know, despite playing all 16 games. But I think that here he's going to be afforded a little bit more of a look because you don't have you've got your Julio Jones, who is akin to your AJ Green, but you don't have right now a big established tight end.
Right.
You hope you got one in Austin Hooper, but that'll be to be determined. So I think that he's going to get a lot of looks that he may not have gotten last year with the Bengals. So, you know, I really think that this is a guy who has an opportunity in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a situation where he's in a rough spot because of the fan perception right mm-hmm. now, right? So you go out and you spend the money on him, and you're doing that on the heels of letting Roddy White go, which was – nobody wanted to see that happen. I mean, it's Roddy White. You know, the guy's going to be in the Ring of Honor someday. Whenever he does hang up his cleats, I guarantee you there will be a job for him wide open in this organization. Roddy White will always be a Falcon. I think that's kind of going to be one of the tough things he's going to have to overcome. He's very active on social media, so he does see the criticism.
Right.
And I see him – he favorites the criticism because I think it motivates him. But cerebral kid, smart, athletic, tall, good hands. I think he's got all the things that you want in a number two receiver. Plus, he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Not that, you know, you're going to need that skill set all that often, but, man, I think he's got an opportunity in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that he understands what that opportunity is. He understands how much the organization has invested in him to take some of that pressure off of Julio Jones so that Julio Jones can be open more often. So my expectations for him are really to just kind of do what he did for AJ Green. You know, and be that guy who hey, when AJ's double covered or just can't get it to him, you know, there's Sanu waiting for a pass in the middle of the field.
Here's what I look at for Mohamed Sanu. And you talked about 33 catches a year ago. Roddy had what, about 40?
Yeah.
But remember at the beginning of the year when the offense for the Falcons was playing at their peak, Leonard Hankerson in week one had over 100 yards. I think Roddy had 90 in game one against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So there were enough footballs to go around for three receivers because Julio had a monster game. Was it Brandon Browner who's still
–
it wasn't Brandon Browner. Who's the other guy because he was traded to Miami that played defensive back? Came from Seattle, ended up in Miami.
Oh, Byron Maxwell.
Byron Maxwell's still trying to cover Julio Jones. We're 11 months removed from that game, and he still can't figure out where Julio is.
Still having nightmares of 11.
Point is to that, there were enough footballs to go around where you could have three guys that can go out and catch a lot of passes. And I think we forget about Jacob Tammy, what he did a year ago with 60 catches as well.
We do, yeah. We do.
He's a player that will still have his role in the offense. I think Sanu, if he can be in the Roddy role, kind of in the mix with what Leonard Hankerson did as well, because Justin Hardy's going to play the three receiver most likely. This could be a guy that gets you close to 50 catches and 700 yards.
Right.
I'm not expecting, I know this guy's, oh, you should get 1,000 yards. It's not going to happen. Julio's going to catch close to $2,000 worth of footballs.
Right.
Devontae's going to catch another 55 to 75 balls out of the backfield.
Exactly.
If this guy gives me 50 and 700, I'd love it.
That's the thing. I think that's your target for him every single year that he's here in this current setup is you know, 50 catches. His season or career high for catches was 2014. He had 56, and then he had 790 yards in that season. I think that's right where you want him to be. He also had 5 touchdowns that year. You want him to be able to duplicate that year over and over and over again for you. Like you said, Julio Jones is going to be the 2,000-yard receiver.
Sure.
If anybody's going to break Calvin Johnson's single-season record, it's going to be Julio Jones because the ball is going to find its way into his hands no matter what. All right, that's that's what I would do if I was the offensive coordinator, you know?
Third and five, throw it to Julio.
Throw it to Julio. So, you know, as far as expectations go, I don't know why he is as polarizing as he is on social media.
I do. It's Roddy White is one. And the second thing is when you look at raw contract numbers, there's a lot of people that don't know how to break down that this year he's only counting $2 million worth of cap.
Right.
And next year it's whatever it is. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just because you see 4 years and $30-plus million, it doesn't mean he's automatically, here's an $8.5 million check every year.
No.
The money moves. There's guarantees involved. From what I gather, the Falcons, after 2 years, if they really wanted an out, could get out of the deal and not be killed money-wise.
Sure. But I really think that this kid is going to earn his worth. He wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met him when he was on his visit because we happened to be following around Alex Mack as he was getting his tour shortly after signing. And we meet kind of in the middle right outside of Dan Quinn's office. And there's Sanu, who's just coming for a visit,
right?
Free agency visit. And so we're all just standing there, and Alex Mack is like basically telling him, like, dude, you need to sign here. You need to come here. And he's like, you know, I want to be here, you know, all that stuff, but it's a business and you got to work out those things. And so, you know, from his angle, he was able to get the deal that he was happy with. We were obviously able to get the deal that we were happy with. I know the fans have a different perception of that, but, I think you got to wait and see what he does on the field. If he ends up being, you know,
if he gives me 33 for 394 like he did a year ago, there's going to be people rightly mad.
Absolutely.
At Mohamed Sanu.
Absolutely. But if he gets you 50 for 790,
yeah,
and 5 touchdowns, you're going to be ecstatic.
Okay with that.
That's the thing is your number one guy is absolutely 100% clear.
Right.
Your number two guy is going to be clear with him. Your number three guy, Justin Hardy, who's going to be, I think,
who was coming on at the end of last year,
could be the surprise player of this offense this year. You know, you've got a lot of options there, and you don't. The great thing is you don't need Mohamed Sanu to be a 1,000-yard guy. You just don't.
And I think that's the biggest misnomer, but, is people go, oh, we got to have a 1,000-yard number two. How many teams in the league have 1,000-yard number twos now?
I mean, it was
– Golden Tate was – he may have been last year.
Right.
But it was real close. And that's only because Calvin was on, had a down year.
There was a streak there that Roddy and Julio had going where each of them got 1,000 yards. I think it was like 4 or 5 straight years. And it was the only time it had been done in NFL history. Right.
Well,
so that tells you how rare it is.
Think about this. Okay, Julio is equal to Antonio Brown.
Right.
Who was the second leading receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Martavius Bryant.
Was it Martavius Bryant?
I believe so.
It may have been. Could have been Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield.
Could have been.
He catches a lot. Point is, they didn't have a second 1,000-yard receiver.
Right. And that's and they won a lot of football games. Yeah, and so that's the thing is I don't know if there are just ridiculous expectations on this kid or if it's just that he's in the unfortunate situation of somehow being viewed as the guy who's replacing Roddy White. That if you put 2,000 2011-2012 Roddy White expectations on Mohamed Sanu, you're going to end up disappointed.
Right.
Right? But if you put last year's Roddy White expectations on him, you're probably going to be pleasantly surprised.
Sure.
So that's kind of the way I look at it. You don't need him to be this amazing superstar. He could turn out to be. Mm-hmm. You just don't really know. But he's going to get his fair share of looks, but a lot of it is going to be, hey, keep these guys over here busy so that we can get the ball to Julio.
And that's all that matters, getting the ball to number 11 and let him, you know, get you another 15, 18, 2,000 yards. Time now to break with Bosak.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
Hey, did you wait a minute? Did you hear what the break with Bosa question was last week?
I did not.
You didn't listen to the show.
throw me under the bus.
You didn't listen to the show. It was a good show too.
I know it was.
He asked, and I want to ask you this question because I've thought about this a little bit.
Oh, okay.
What product would you like to go back in time and make sure never got invented? And. No, you can't think of, like, you know, nuclear weapons, because I asked that question. You know, you got to think along the lines of, like, products, like the candy you got in front of you.
No, because I'm going to devour these bottle caps when I get out of here.
But
wow, the product that I wouldn't want invented.
So just like an everyday item or thing or whatever, and it stumped me in shock until I thought of one thing and I went off.
What was yours?
You ranted for
10
minutes.
I'm going to wait until you think of something.
We might be here a while.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm trying to think of stuff that I wouldn't want invented. Ooh. Well, I got one, but it's not a product, and we'll leave that alone. But student loans are the stupidest thing ever. Get me into college for free.
hey, I got news for my provider. You're going to have to get the money out of my grave because I will be going to the grave with a balance still left on my account.
Yeah, I think those are stupid. But
people ask me all the time, how did you get this job? Like, what do I have to do? What do I have to learn? You've got to get a lot of student loans.
Yeah.
So let's start there. So,
do you guys remember the Floby?
Yes.
The Floby was the stupidest invention in the history of mankind.
But does it really affect you on a daily basis?
No, nothing affects me on a daily basis,
well,
I don't think.
Well, then you're not human. Either that or I'm just angry at everything.
I'm trying to think what affects me on a daily basis that would really aggravate me. I mean, for me, it's just regular bills.
I'd say stoplights.
Those are kind of necessary.
Not when I'm trying to go.
Yeah, we've tried to
get them. So what I said was suits.
Suits.
Suits, like a suit of clothes.
Okay.
I don't like them.
Why?
Because you're going to fire me up again. When they make a suit, mm-hmm. they don't do it with my body type in mind.
I agree.
I mean, I've got the body of a wet burlap sack filled with mango pulp, and the nobody's thinking about, oh, you know, I wonder how a good three-piece suit would look on that. Nobody's thinking that. So every time I go in, I got to get something like tailored, and mm-hmm. when they tailor it, my arms are short, mm-hmm. and the suit makes my arms feel short, and then they make my legs feel short. I like a nice baggy slack.
Yeah.
They won't give me a baggy slack. I got to wear these shoes that I don't like, and the coat itself just does me no favors.
Yeah,
it does
I'm right
my
there with you.
It does my shape no favors because I got tails hanging off the end of me, and it's all that's doing is making me wider from the side, and I can't deal with it. It's like I'm big enough. I'm trying to fix that, mm-hmm. as we established earlier, but I don't care for suits.
Yeah, I don't know who made that this is how you have to dress look.
I don't know. I'm just glad it's not in the 20s where everybody's wearing suits every day.
No, see, we got to put on a suit. See,
I keep nice talking about
hat. Going to the big Rocky Marciano fight, and you got a suit on.
Yeah, I have no need for suits either.
No,
yeah. I am very happy with this regime.
See, but I can't wait to see what you wear to Miami.
To Miami? Oh, yeah. That'll be something flashy.
I can't wait.
I found a lime green plaid suit the other day. I almost bought it.
Oh, you should have worn it to Miami.
I would look like Pimp Don Magic Wand had I worn that. Put some dollar sign glasses on. You know what I don't like either? To go along the lines with what you have, dress shoes. Dress shoes suck.
Yeah,
See, this I have wide, fat feet.
This is why I'm glad that you know, I fully admit that women have it a lot harder than men, because they'll sacrifice comfort for fashion and style. That wouldn't be me. Like I would be, I would have problems with fashion standards that are currently set for women.
You know what's funny? Before we go to break with Bosek, you talk about fashion standards. Because I'm going on vacation, I haven't bought shorts, like, just outside of basketball shorts, in God knows how long. So I don't have, like, shorts. Because you go to the club in Punta Cana, it's 108 degrees with 600% humidity.
Yeah, you're wearing.
You're not wearing
white
pants.
You're wearing the white button down.
Oh no, it's a tank top.
You're wearing a tank top. And the white shorts.
White shorts. See, white shorts do guys that have a body type like me no justice either.
No.
I don't need to wear white because I sweat a lot, and the next thing you know, you see everything that I'm wearing. So we don't need that to happen either.
Especially if there's black light inside.
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yeah.
But does he have glow in the dark boxers on?
Yeah.
I went to the mall last week. It's the first time I've been to the mall probably in 6 years. And I know now why I no longer go to the mall. Because, yeah. A, the fashion of today, I don't get it all. If it's not jeans and a t-shirt, I'm out.
Yeah, same.
I went into this store, and it was one. I'm a hip-hop guy, so I'll go into the hip-hop store, find me some shorts. What is it with these skinny shorts that have, like, the rips, all the frays in them? And who's wearing this?
Yeah. Not me.
I don't know what you're talking about. It sounds horrible.
It is horrible.
Okay, can I pose this question? Is it still acceptable to wear cargo shorts?
Yes.
Okay.
I've heard not, but I'm not with the fashion really.
But you're
either,
also a
so.
Kid, though.
There you go.
You're a millennial, so okay. I should be taking my fashion advice from you.
Who is telling you not to wear cargo shorts?
Well, women.
Okay. You know what? Tell them to buy you a pair of shorts then that you want to wear.
See, but that's the other thing, is that cargo shorts, I feel like, were invented with my body type in mind.
Yeah.
As mine as well.
Because they think, well, here's a guy who's got large hips and large quadriceps.
And a big derriere.
And a big derriere and probably a need for a lot of pockets.
Probably
a need for a lot of pockets. Let's make this for him. And that's why I have cargo shorts, but I've heard that they are becoming the fanny pack of fashion.
Yet
that scares me, because
that is true. I couldn't find any cargo shorts last week.
Yeah,
because I was looking for some.
Yeah,
boy, let me tell you something, guys. As far as Falcon Cast goes, we're really putting the Falcon in it. Holy smokes!
Well, we did like 30 minutes on the Falcons with food and with Mohamed Sanu.
I just feel sorry for the people who have to listen to us babble right now.
They like that. All right, let's do the break with Bosek before we get out of here.
All right, break with Bosek comes from a different Bosek, not Brian, but Mr. Jim Bosek of Spirit
Jim
Wear.
Jim Bosek, nice. Who's very much into the Bring Back the Video campaign.
He is. He is
in the fall, we may do something.
He is leading that.
Maybe, we'll see.
Leading that charge. But yeah, if you guys want to submit a question and have me ask these guys, just tweet me at Brian Bosek.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a nice creative question out there that you came up with. But here for this week from Jim Spiritware, would you rather hit a home run to win the World Series, score an overtime goal in hockey to win the Stanley Cup, win a three-point buzzer beater to win a basketball title, or a field goal to win the Super Bowl? What you got?
I'm going to make my own.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to say I want to sink a putt on the 18th green at Augusta to win the Masters.
That would be awesome.
That would be sweet.
That's what I want to do.
It's a really tough question for me, because I played college baseball, and I never hit a home run, ever. I was a leadoff hitter.
You're small ball
guy. Yeah, I was Bosek size. I led off. I was fast.
Not a lot of power in the hips.
No, I hit one that missed a home. I hit it out of the park, but it went foul by about 2 feet. And I'm standing there looking at it like, holy cow, I hit a home run, then it looked foul.
Yeah.
Hockey would be out, because I can't ice skate at all.
I want to see you ice skate.
Ice skating is not meant for guys my size either. The three-point buzzer, I was a three-point jacker in college as well. I could let it fly.
What was your percentage, like three?
True story. I played semi-pro for Earl Campbell.
Stop it.
His nephew ran a team. Earl Campbell used to come. I went to college in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
Which Earl Campbell's the Tyler Rose. He still lives today in Tyler, Texas.
Right.
His nephew ran a semi-pro team after I quit playing for my college because I wouldn't get any time. Guy came up and recruited a bunch of us and said, I got a semi-pro team, come play. 66% for a season.
Woo.
I shot on threes. Now, I got a lot of wide open shots because I was the skinny white guy that they just go, he can't play. Holy cow, this guy could shoot.
Yeah.
And we had 6'8", 6'9", guys that everybody was trying to double team. So
right.
I can shoot.
So you were the Steph Curry of that league. You were just putting
nah,
it up
I can't
more.
Dribble like Steph Curry. So who was a standstill jump shooter? I was like Jerry McNamara of Syracuse. I could stand still and shoot open
that's
jump
it.
Shots.
That's it.
That's who I was.
Just get to your spot.
But for me to win, because the ultimate goal is a Super Bowl,
yeah.
I've never seen my team win a Super Bowl, period. If I could get a chance, and I also can kick field goals as well, which is hilarious, I would love to kick a field goal to win the Super Bowl. Can you imagine how euphoric that must feel for Adam Vinatieri? Time's gone. You're literally – your kick determines you win or go to overtime, and you hit that kick, as
yeah.
much as we all hate Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah. No, John, I'm very well aware of
What kicks do.
What a kick yeah. can do.
I know.
Talking to a Bills fan over there.
Very well aware. That's why I stayed away from that one.
I like your answer, though. Your Masters one.
Masters public.
Hey, let me tell you, that tournament is something else.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to sink a putt anywhere, it's got to be on the 18th at the Masters.
What would yours be, Bosek?
This is really tough, but, man, I think I'd have to go at the walk-off home run in World Series. I don't know.
Now, are you a Cubs or a White Sox fan?
I'm a White Sox all the way.
Okay.
Actually, you're talking about hitting home runs. My grandpa played for the White Sox, and he hit a home run in the major leagues.
Really?
Yeah, back in the 30s.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's Grandpa Bosek coming up to bat. They're going to throw him a 2-2 rise ball.
Rise ball.
Yeah, so I guess I...
Meanwhile, get your pack of lucky strikes for 5 cents down at the corner drugstore. I don't know. I don't do very good old radio guy.
And I got one more question for you guys. This could be our final play. This comes from another fan.
All right.
Des Stevenson overseas, he tweeted at us this past week, and he wanted to know your opinion of the best non-American to play for the Falcons, if you guys have any.
Morten Anderson.
Yeah, it's got to be Morten Anderson, who, by the way, should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
shame
yes.
on you, Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is the greatest kicker that the game has seen.
Right.
How is he – you? The position exists.
Right.
He belongs in the Hall of Fame.
He's – yeah. And the detractors for who, you know, say he doesn't belong there, kicker shouldn't be there or whatever, that they drive me nuts with their arguments of, well, you know, he played for so long, so that's why he's the NFL's leading scorer and blah, blah, blah. And I don't care. He was 47 years old still kicking field goals.
Right.
I'm 34. I can barely get out of bed. I mean, come on. This guy was, like, amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, the distance, the accuracy, this guy just had it all. And he leads two franchises. He's the only yep. player in NFL history to lead two franchises in scoring.
That's, yeah.
I mean, and they happen to be two rivals. And it's us and the Saints. And I don't know. I'm with you, John. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that he's going to make it, though, because there are a lot of names.
I think eventually the veteran committee lets him go in.
That's what it's going to be.
Yep.
He's not going to get in right now.
Nope.
He's going to get in with the veteran committee. And I hate that for him because he deserves to be in there right now. And I really thought when Ray Guy got in, it was going to open up the floodgates
mm-hmm.
a little bit for special teamers because I firmly believe that Steve Tasker needs to be in the Hall of Fame as
well.
And
Devin Hester when his time's there.
Devin Hester will need to be in the Hall of Fame at some point. If you're going to let Devin Hester in, you got to let these other two guys in too.
Yep.
So special teams is such an important part of the game. And if you don't think so, look at the break with Bosek question. That's a kick a field goal to win the Super Bowl. That is special teams. So it's important. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Too bad we didn't bring up Gerardo. Was it Gerardo Boldevine? Amsterdam could have
Amsterdam,
been our pick, but he didn't.
Amsterdam. Didn't. I was talking about him earlier today. People still ask. I don't know where he is.
Not gotta playing look it football. Up. Thanks, Des, for that question.
Yeah,
appreciate you listening, Des, as well. And that's it. That's the end of the Falcon Cast today. Go on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Check on iTunes, Falcon Cast. You guys have a great next 2 weeks.
You enjoy your little vacation there.
There'll be a little consumption going on and a lot of laying and getting a tan. I am going to come back tan.
More, yeah, very much.
Probably
so.
About 15 pounds heavier because it's a lot of free food.
You better
football.
Not. I'm going to be very upset with you.
I'll do a lot of running on the beach.
We hope you enjoyed our first 17 minutes of weight loss.
Yes.
Talk.
We'll see you guys next week.